We are in Chelek Yud Beis of Lukat Sichais, Parshas Vayikra, Sicha Aleph. In this Sicha, the Rebbe comments on two Rashis that are in the second Pasuk of the Parsha, Pasuk Beis. The Pasuk starts off with the words Adam Ki Yakrav Mikan Karban LaHashem, which means if a person brings from among you a Karban to Hashem. The first Rashi is on the words Adam Ki Yakrav Mikan, if a person from among you brings. And Rashi says the following, Adam ki yakrav mikem, kishi yakrav, when he will bring, b'karbanais nedava dibur ha'inyan. This section is talking about karbanais nedava. Karbanais nedava are voluntary karbanais, as opposed to karbanais that a person has to bring, obligatory karbanais. These are karbanais that a person can bring if he chooses to. And presumably, Rashi gets this information from the words ki yakrav, ki meaning if. The word if implies that there is a choice. Perhaps one will bring them or perhaps one will not. So Rashi seems to be saying, based on the word if, ki, we can assume, we can know that the karbanais that we're discussing here are voluntary karbanais and not required karbanais. However, says the Rebbe, if Rashi is getting this understanding from the words ki yakriv, if he will bring, then why does Rashi include the words Adam and Mikem in the Dibur HaMaschil? Rashi's style is that whatever words from the Pasuk he quotes in the Dibur HaMaschil need to be there, either because they need to be explained or because they're necessary to understand his explanation. So if Rashi looks at the words Ki Yakriv, if he will bring, and says that we must be talking about voluntary karbanais, why does he not just quote the words Ki Yakriv? Why does he quote four words, Adam ki yakrav mikem? And that is the Rebbe's first question on the first Rashi. The Rebbe then moves on to the second question, the second Rashi. The second Rashi in this pasuk is on just the word Adam. Rashi says, Adam, lama ne'amar, why does it say the word Adam? Because it teaches us that just as Adam Harishai never bought a karban from stolen property because everything belonged to him, so too you should never bring a karban from stolen property. And here too, on this second Rashi, the Rebbe has a question as well. And the Rebbe's question here is very simply, what is Rashi's question? Rashi doesn't just give us nice explanations. If Rashi stops to discuss a word or a phrase, it's because he has a question. So the Rebbe is wondering, what is Rashi's question on the word Adam? And to expand on that, the Rebbe says that it can't be that Rashi feels that the word Adam is unnecessary, because it's very normal for a pasuk in the Chumash that is introducing a halacha to begin with the word Adam or Ish. If a man does this or a person does that. So that can't be the issue. It's normal usage. And if Rashi is bothered by the fact that Adam ki yakrav mikem, if a person brings from among you, the word mikem from among you seems extra, then that could very well be that the word mikem seems extra, but then Rashi would be explaining that on the word mikem, not on the word Adam. The word Adam is not where the question arises. The question only arises on the word mikem. So we have the first Rashi question on that. Why does Rashi include all four words in the Dibur HaMaschil? We have our second Rashi question on that, which is what is Rashi's question? And in order to answer what is Rashi's question on the word Adam, the Rebbe brings the approach of some of our Shim who say that, well, what is Rashi's question here? Rashi wants to know why the Torah uses the word Adam and not Ish. Both mean man, but why Adam? And to answer that, Rashi says, well, because Adam teaches us this point about just like Adam HaRishon did not bring a karban from stolen property, you should not either. The Rebbe doesn't like that answer for two reasons. Reason number one is simply why. Why would Rashi think there's an issue with the Torah writing Adam instead of Ish? Both words seem to be perfectly acceptable. And the second problem that the Rebbe brings is that if the Rashi's question is why the word Adam, then that should have been Rashi's first explanation on this pasuk, because Adam is the first word of the pasuk. Rashi seemingly should have first explained the Rashi and Adam, just as Adam HaRishon never brought a karban from stolen property, etc. And then Rashi could have moved on to the continuation of the pasuk, Adam ki yakrav mikem, and explained that, well, we are talking about karbanais nedava. But Rashi doesn't do that. He first explains Adam ki yakrav mikem, and only then goes back to explain the word Adam. Why does Rashi give us those explanations in seemingly a backwards order. So again, the Rebbe is going to present the approach of some Mefarshim who say that the question on the usage of the word Adam only arises after you have Rashi's first explanation on Adam ki Yaakov mikem. Why is that? Because somebody comes along, the Ben Chamish LeMikra comes and he reads this pasuk in Chumash, Adam ki Yaakov mikem karban Hashem. This is the beginning of Parshas Vayikra. We're introducing the idea of karbanis. We would assume that what karbanis are we talking about here? We are talking about karbanis chayva, karbanis that a person has to bring, because those are the majority of karbanis, and those are obviously the necessary ones. We would not assume that the karbanis under discussion are karbanis nedava. So the person reading reads, Adam ki Yaakov mikem. We're talking about a person who's going to bring a karban, presumably a required karban. And the word Adam makes perfect sense here because Chazal say that Adam refers to Klal Yisrael. It's brought down in the Gemara that Atem Kriyim Adam, you, as in the Jews, are called Adam and not Gayim. Non-Jews are not called Adam. And then Rashi comes along and he says, wait, one second. We are talking about Karbanais Nedava. And that gives us a problem because if we are talking about karbanis that are required, those are only given to Bnei Yisrael. Gayim do not bring required karbanis. So the use of the word Adam that excludes Gayim makes a lot of sense when we're talking about karbanis that are required. But as soon as Rashi comes along and he says, Ki Yakriv tells us that we are talking about voluntary karbanis, and Gayim are, we know this later on, that Gayim are allowed to bring voluntary karbanis, then all of a sudden, the reader, the one who's reading the Chumash, is going to say, wait a minute, why then does the Chumash use the word Adam? In other words, we first have to know that the Pasuk is referring to voluntary karbanis before we can be confused by the usage of the word Adam, and that is why Rashi gives this kind of backwards order for his explanations. As well as explains what is Rashi's question on the word Adam. If Adam excludes Gayim and we're talking about Karbanis Nedava, which Gayim are allowed to bring, why are we using the word Adam? Let's use the word Ish. And that explains why Rashi would be bothered by the word Adam. The Rebbe says, though, we have three problems with this approach. Problem number one is that Rashi deals with Pshat, with Pshutei Shel Mikra, the simple meaning of the text. The Rebbe says, where in Pshat do we find that Adam excludes Gayim? And in fact, says the Rebbe, just the opposite. In Pshat, in the simple meaning of the text, we do find a number of places, even before Chumash Vayikra, where Adam doesn't exclude Gayim, it includes Gayim. And this idea that Atam Kriyim Adam, you, Klal Yisrael, are Adam, and Adam excludes non-Jews, is not pshat, according to Rashi. And we know that because this teaching of Chazal, that Adam includes only Klal Yisrael, is from a pasuk later on in the Torah, on the pasuk Adam Kiyamas Ba'ayel. And when Rashi explains that pasuk, he does not bring down this statement of Chazal, Atam Kriyim Adam, that Adam only includes Klal Yisrael. In other words, in Rashi's opinion, according to Pshat, Adam does not exclude Gayim. So that is problem number one with this approach. Problem number two is that, again, in Pshat, if we just look at a simple reading of the Parsha, how would we know that a guy is allowed to bring a karban nedava, a voluntary karban? We don't know this here. And the Ben Chamish LeMikra reading this text in the Chumash is not going to say, hey, wait a second, a guy is allowed to bring a voluntary karban. Why are you excluding him? We only learn later on the halacha that a guy is allowed to bring a voluntary karban. But at this point, we don't know that yet. So we're not going to ask that question. So that is problem number two. And problem number three is that if that indeed was Rashi's question on the word Adam, how can it use the word Adam excluding a guy when a guy is allowed to bring a voluntary karban, which is what we're talking about here? Then Rashi's question shouldn't have been, Lama Namar, why does it say Adam? But rather, Eich Namar, How does it say Adam? How can the Chumash use a word that seems to not jive with the halacha? So that is the problem with this approach. The Rebbe is obviously rejecting this approach. And the Rebbe then brings two more general questions on Rashi that we need to understand as well. Question number one, or we already have a number of questions, but the first of these two questions that the Rebbe brings is that according to whichever way we want to understand Rashi, all the explanations that have been brought so far, the word mikem, Adam Kiyakrav Mikem, a person who brings from among you, definitely seems unnecessary. And Rashi doesn't address that, doesn't address what the word Mikem is doing in the Pasuk. That is one issue. And question number two is that the source of this idea about Adam, the word Adam teaches us that just as Adam Harishain never bought a carbon from stolen property, that comes from the Midrash, but it's actually brought down in two different Midrashim. It's brought in the Midrash Rabbah and in the Midrash Tanchuma, but it's slightly different in each place. The Midrash Tanchuma says that Adam Harishain didn't steal from anyone because he was alone in the world. The Midrash Rabbah says that everything was in Adam's possession, so he didn't bring karbanos from stolen property. Rashi's choice of words here is that Rashi says, Hakal haya shalai, everything belonged to him, to Adam, shows us that he is referencing the Midrash Rabbah, who says everything was in Adam's possession and that's why he didn't steal, as opposed to the Tanchuma, who writes that Adam was alone and therefore he did not steal. So the Rebbe wants to know practically what's the difference between these two sources of this Midrash, and why does Rashi choose to follow the language, not exactly, but to follow more similarly the language of the Midrash Rabbah. So let's go back again, as we mentioned before, to look at the entire Pasuk and what we would assume, what we would think just from reading the Pasuk. We are being introduced to the idea of karbanos, and as we said, we would assume that this first pasuk talking about karbanos is probably going to be referring to karbanos that are required. And we need to assume that unless there is clear proof that it's not referring to karbanos that are required. Rashi is going to prove to us that we're not talking about required karbanos. We are talking about karbanos nedava. But according to Rashi's understanding, the words ki yakriv, if he will bring, are not enough to prove that. And in order to prove that we're talking here about karbanos nedava, voluntary offerings, we need the entire phrase of Adam ki yakriv mikem. Why is that? So we said that according to Pshat, in Pshutei Shel Mikra, Adam does not exclude Gayim, it includes everybody. Logically, this pasuk, Adam ki yakriv mikem, has to be referring to required karbanos. That's what makes the most sense. So we could look at this pasuk and read, if a person brings a karban, why if? Because gayim are included in this group of people who might be bringing a karban, and we could be talking about required karbanos, but for a guy who isn't required to bring a karban, he only brings a karban if he wants to, therefore we're using the word if, because for a guy, this whole idea of karbanos is an if, it's voluntary. And therefore, the pasuk is saying, Adam ki yakriv. And then the pasuk says, mikem. No, it's not just a random person who brings a karban. It's a person mikem from among you, meaning from among Klal Yisrael. And that is why Rashi quotes the words mikem, to emphasize that the Torah is not talking about Gayim here. The Torah is only talking about Klal Yisrael, only people from among you, mikem, from Bnei Yisrael. And therefore, when it says ki yakriv, it must be that we are talking about karbanos nedava, voluntary karbanos, because we're saying if, and the if is not cannot be referring to the Gayim part of this equation, who may choose to, whereas Klal Yisrael has to, because we're only talking about Klal Yisrael. So therefore, Rashi needs the entire phrase, Adam ki yakriv mikem, to prove that we are talking about voluntary karbanos here. And the Rebbe says, well, wait a second. Maybe we're still, we don't have enough proof, entire proof, that we're talking about karbanos nedava, voluntary karbanos. The Rebbe brings kind of a novel explanation for, even with this understanding, how could we possibly say that we're still talking about required, obligatory karbanos? Because the rabbi says maybe the word if is referring to the type of karban that is generally obligatory, but it's not obligatory in a particular case. What would a case be like that? If he's in the instance that a child who is not bar mitzvah, he's not chayav for anything, he does a sin, and it's a type of sin that requires a person to bring a karban. However, because he's a child, he's not required to do anything. He's not considered responsible, so he doesn't have to bring a karban. But this type of karban essentially is a required karban. It's just not required in this case because the person doesn't have to bring it. He's a kid. And then that child grows up and he becomes a man and he decides he wants to bring that a karban for that sin he did when he was a child. In that case, it would be an if, because although we're talking about a karban chayva, a karban that is required to be brought, in this case, it's being brought on a voluntary basis. And that would kind of reject the idea that if tells us we need to be referring to karbanis nedava in general. The Rebbe says, however, that can't be the case. We can't go with this explanation that we're talking about a karban that is in general required but not required in this case, like a young child who only decides to bring karban when he grows up, because if that was the case, then the Taira would have emphasized the fact that what changed to why is this karban voluntary? It has to do with this person's age. Because what changed from when he was not going to bring a karban to when now he does bring a karban? Or in slightly different words, what changed between the time of his doing the sin when the karban would have been required to now when the karban is actually being brought? The only thing that changes is age. And in that case, the Rebbe says, the Torah would have used the word ish, because ish specifically refers to an adult man. And the point here would be that this person became an adult, and therefore, if he chooses, now that he's a man, to bring a karban, you know, such and such is the procedure. Because the Torah does not use the word ish, it uses the word adam, then we know that age has nothing to do with it here. Adam could refer to minors, adults, it doesn't make a difference. So to clarify the point that the pasuk is not talking about a child that grew up, rather we're speaking about karbanais that are voluntary, Rashi includes the word Adam in his Dibur HaMaschil. So now we know why Rashi includes the word Adam in the Dibur HaMaschil. And we also know why the Taira includes the word Mikem, to clarify that we're only talking about karbanais that are brought by Klal Yisrael, and that, again, helps us understand that we're specifically referring to voluntary karbanais. But what we don't know yet is why the Torah writes the word Adam. Again, seemingly, and from a grammatical perspective, it's not really necessary. It could have just written, Kiyakrav Mikem, a person from among you who brings, and a person, although it wouldn't be written out in the Chumash, would be implied. And even according to the explanation we just gave regarding the word Adam, tells us that it's not referring to a child who became an adult. The reason we know that the pasuk is not referring to a situation where we're talking about a child who grew up is only because it doesn't use the word ish. It's not because it uses the word Adam. And as we said, it's grammatically, the word Adam does not seem to be necessary. The words ki yakrav mikem on their own seemingly would have been enough. So we want to understand the word Adam. And that answers the Rebbe's second question of what's bothering Rashi on the word Adam, and what's bothering Rashi is, why does the Torah include the word Adam? We know why we have the words Kiyakariv, we know why we have the word Mikem, why the word Adam? And Rashi then answers, why Adam? Because just as Adam Harishai never offered karbanais from stolen property, so too, because everything was his, so too you should not offer karbanais from stolen property. And as we said, there are two possible sources Rashi could have taken this idea from, the Medrash Rabbah and the Medrash Tanchuma. Rashi goes with the Medrash Rabbah's version, not the Medrash Tanchuma's version, who says that just Adam never stole because he was alone in the world. What's the difference between the Medrash Rabbah and the Tanchuma? The Tanchuma's language that Adam did not steal from others because he was alone in the world implies that why didn't Adam steal? He didn't steal because there was nobody to steal from. The language that Rashi uses, that Adam never brought karbanis from stolen property because everything was his, implies that he didn't steal because there was nothing to steal, because everything belonged to him. So why is it that Rashi goes with this approach, that Adam never stole because there was nothing to steal, as opposed to Adam never stole because there was no one to steal from? Now, from a basic reading of the Pshat, we don't ever see that Adam actually brought a karban. So Rashi here is not commenting on an actual karban that Adam brought, but rather on the possibility of Adam bringing karban. As Rashi is saying, Adam had no possibility of bringing a karban from stolen items because everything belonged to him. It was not possible. Or, according to the Tanchuma, there was no possibility of Adam stealing because there was no one to steal from. So if the reason Adam did not bring a karban from stolen property was because he had nobody to steal from, then there's a very basic question, which is Adam was only alone in the world for a very short period of time. On the same day that Adam was created, his wife Chava was created, his children were born. So there's a very short window of time when Adam is the only human being around. And to say that Adam had no possibility of bringing a karban from stolen property because he was the only human being, well, maybe for those first few hours or first hour of his life, that's true. But then he did have the possibility of bringing karbanos from stolen items. And again, we're not talking about an actual karban necessarily. We're talking about the potential. So Rashi is going with the Medrash Rabbah's version, because throughout Adam's life, besides for, you know, on the first day of his life already, there were other people. Throughout his life, in the vast majority of his life, there were children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren born. There were many other people from whom he could theoretically have stolen. So if Rashi wants to point out that there's zero possibility for Adam to have brought a karban from stolen items, that idea of him being alone in the world is not really a good proof. And Rashi instead says everything belonged to him, and that's why he couldn't possibly have stolen. The Rebbe then points out that even if you want to kind of like infer from a basic reading of the Pshat that Adam did bring a karban, although it doesn't say that straight out, it's not hard to think that that happened, especially because we do see in the Chumash that Cain and Hevel bring karbanos, and presumably they learned that from their father. That makes sense. If Adam, though, brought a karban, we would imagine that it was most likely a karban that was brought as a kapara to atone for the chet et hadas, similar to how Noach brought a karban after the mabul. And when Adam is bringing this theoretical karban, again, as a kapara for the chet et hadas, he was no longer alone in the world. So again, Rashi is going with this approach that why could Adam not possibly have brought a karban from stolen property because everything belonged to him, meaning that from the moment Adam was created, immediately everything in the world became his, belonged to him. And the fact that Chava was created and then that there were children born, etc., that did not detract from Adam's ownership of everything. And so it makes sense that even though there were other people in the world during most of his life, those other people did not detract from his ownership of everything, and therefore he couldn't possibly have stolen. Now, although we have to assume and we have to say that other people in the world during Adam's lifetime had their own things, and we know, again, straight out in the Chumash tells us Cain and Hevel had sheep, they had stuff. This, says the Rebbe, is their ownership of things there, as in Cain and Hevel, other people, all the later people in the world, Adam's offspring, anything that they owned was in a way of children supported at their father's table, where yes, the children are being supported, but it's really from their father. And the Rebbe adds, like parenthetically, that perhaps this is why Rashi uses the exact wording that he does, which is slightly different than the Midrash Rabbah, even though the Midrash Rabbah is clearly his source. The Midrash Rabbah says that Hakal haya bereshusai, everything was in Adam's possession. And Rashi says Hakal haya shalai, everything belonged to him. Because presumably Rashi is taking the position that everything belonged to Adam, but wasn't necessarily in his possession. It was in the possession of his children, of his grandchildren, of his great-grandchildren, but it still belonged essentially to him. And even if we want to say that Adam, he gave it to them as a complete gift, Since Adam, if we want to say that, that he gave it to them as a gift and it's theirs, the very fact that he gave it to them voluntarily, out of goodwill, and who did he give it to? His children, his grandchildren. Obviously, he would not steal from them. Now, there's one point left to clarify here, because we're working now on the assumption that everything belonged to Adam, because as soon as he was created, he acquired ownership of everything. In general, in halacha, there's an idea of to acquire ownership of something, you need to make a kinyan. There's like a formal method of acquiring it, and we don't see that Adam actually does this. However, Rashi just kind of writes, as a matter of fact, Hakal Haya Shalai, everything belonged to Adam, and doesn't explain how that is, which tells us that Rashi believes that Adam's ownership of everything is so obvious that we don't even need to explain it. Now, some say, how is it that Adam owned everything, even without making a formal kinyan, even without actually acquiring it by any kind of process? And they say, well, when no one else is in existence, so again, right when Adam's created, he's the only human being in the world, there's no one else there, automatically everything belongs to the only human being there, which fits in, there's two shitas in halacha. When you're talking about an ownerless item, something that is hefker, there's something lying around, doesn't belong to anybody. One viewpoint is that, well, that ownerless item belongs to everyone. And the other viewpoint is that ownerless item belongs to no one. But according to the viewpoint that the hefker, the ownerless item, belongs to everyone, then the only reason somebody would need to make a kinyan, like a formal acquisition of that item, is to not gain ownership of it himself. It belongs to him. It belongs to everyone. You would make a kinyan to make clear that nobody else has rights anymore to that thing. So it's not that you need to acquire it. It's that you need to stop everyone else from acquiring it. So if you follow that approach in halacha, that an ownerless item belongs to everyone, Adam would never have needed to make a kinyan, because when he was created, there was nobody else. So obviously, and the ownerless item, meaning everything in the world, belongs to everyone. He's the only everyone. He doesn't need to make a kinyan because there's no one else to prevent from acquiring it. The Rebbe says, though, that that approach is of halacha is questionable. It's not straightforward. It's something that Rashi would have needed to explicitly explain. That's not how we would naturally understand it. So we need a different way of understanding how everything belongs to Adam, even without him making a formal kinyan. And that is based on something that the Alter Rebbe writes in Shulchan Aruch, that a king, says the Alter Rebbe, even a non-Jewish king that conquers another country in war, acquires that country with all the rivers and forests in it, everything in it, because the entire land with the rivers and the forests and everything belongs to the king. That applies to his own country and to a country that he conquers in the war. So too, Adam, being alone in the world, he ruled over everything. He conquered over everything. We know the Chumash even uses that language of conquering in relation to Adam. Just like a king conquers a country, and in that case, everything comes under his ownership, Adam, who conquered, so to speak, the whole world, took everything under his control, and by default, automatically, he gained ownership of everything without having to actually make a kinyan. And we see an example of this, not of Adam acquiring ownership, but of how a king automatically acquires ownership a little bit later in the Torah, in Chumash Bamidbar. We know that Bnei Yisrael were not allowed to fight with Ma'av, but they did end up acquiring land from Ma'av because they conquered Sichain. Sichain had previously conquered land from Ma'av, and once Sichain conquered the land from Ma'av, it became Sichain's land, and then Bnei Yisrael was able to acquire it from Sichain. In other words, and Rashi doesn't explain this explicitly there, indicating that it was obvious. It's obvious that when Sichain acquired Ma'av's land, it is no longer belonging to Ma'av. It now belongs to Sichain. And therefore, when Bnei Yisrael conquered Sichain, they can acquire that land as well, because that comes along with conquering and taking control, that you take ownership automatically. So too, self-understood, according to Rashi, that Adam taking control of the world gives him automatic ownership over everything, and Rashi does not need to explicitly explain it. He can just state it as a matter of fact that everything belonged to Adam.